Thank you very much. And Carol, I couldn't have asked for a better introduction from following you. I've been on many mission trips myself with Palmer College. It's an exciting experience. Ooh. Is that better? I like to see everybody without that poking me in the face. If you type into Google, oh, let me do this thing. Which one? I may have to double-click this faster to make the time right. Laurie Curry is the coordinator of Palmer's Clinic Abroad program in Davenport, and I am the coordinator in Palmer campus in Port Orange, Florida. I also run the outreach clinic, so it's been really exciting for me to listen to my colleagues from Palmer talk about all the things that are going on with our college and what we are motivated by and the things that we hope to gain from other people here at the convention this weekend. Without Laurie, I'd be lost, so those of you going back to Davenport campus, please let her know. She's in Madagascar right now and couldn't be here to join us. I have no relationships to disclose, and as you know, we all have to do that. Who goes on mission trips? They've increased by 20% in the last 5 or 10 years. If you click on Google, there are 74,400 articles, that was last week, about chiropractic mission trips. Not medical mission trips, not dental mission trips, chiropractic mission trips. Well, who goes? Licensed chiropractors, students, Palmer College, and other chiropractic colleges have clinic abroad programs where students get to go, earn credits, and enjoy the culture of the country as well. Church groups sponsor mission trips. Rotary International, I'm not sure that's in my order, but individuals from this country have set up organizations to go on mission trips to many, many different countries, not just the ones that we go to at Palmer College. Again, the Rotary is one of the big organizers of trips, not just for chiropractors, but many other health organizations. And of course, the college-sponsored trips, as well as individuals from sites overseas. Some of our graduates have already gone back home to their own countries and are now asking us to bring students or others back to their country to expose the public to chiropractic. Why do we go? Well, an unknown location, an exotic vacation, different culture. We all like to feel good, doing good. That humanitarian service is a benefit for all of our hearts. Educational benefits, spreading the word about chiropractic. I think I'm preaching to the choir at this point, everybody in this room. We also go because then we can appreciate how good home is. We really know what we have here. Many people go because of religious reasons. They want to obtain religious converts through providing health care. And some people go just to get the renewed motivation for practice, that giving, just to give, knowing there's no compensation, kind of inspires people to come back into their practice and just be highly motivated again. Back in 1978, the World Health Organization said they wanted everyone to have a level of health care that led to a socially and productive life by the year 2000. Well, money kind of made them revise that goal. They also wanted return visits. They wanted coordination with local medical doctors. They also recommended limiting the number of people seen to those that could achieve the greatest benefit, in particularly young people. That one's kind of hard for me. You know, I'm not in that category anymore. It won't be long before I'll be eligible for Social Security, so it's not that long. I mean, it's a long time. I still want to work for a long time. However, we do see young people on our mission trips from the college program. I don't know how the private trips go, but part of what it takes to make a mission trip is lots and lots of planning. You have to find a site for the clinic or multiple sites for the clinic. You have to have places for the participants to sleep, places for them to eat. You saw some of the pictures that Carol had up in her presentation. Sometimes it's pretty hard to find some place. And some of our locations that our students and faculty that go from Palmer College are not five-star hotels. Some of the places are very rustic. And yes, I've used the Indian bathroom where you had to stand up to do all of your business. Well, if you've got a good aim. It takes translators. Travel arrangements to get there and to get around inside the country. Most trips plan some form of relaxation other than the clinic days and some cultural experience activity of what their participants will do. We're going to start talking about really what this topic is about, and that's knowing the regulations and talking about standards of practice, standards of care practice in these places. Many places do not have a chiropractic law. And when that's the situation, you have to realize that any kind of medical care, health care, is going to fall under somebody else's law, whether it's the physical therapist law or the Medical Practice Act in those countries. There may be local laws, local governments that you have to deal with, let alone the federal government and the ministers of health. Carol mentioned that in her presentation as well. Thank you, Carol. I appreciate all this lead up for mine. I've been to Madagascar as well, twice. I've been to India once, and I've been to Bekwe four times, which is down in the Southern Caribbean, which is very nice. Don't drink the water. Doesn't matter how nice the water is in the Caribbean. It's when you step off the beach that matters, or what part of the highway drains into the beach from the people's homes and the community that water runoff is from. CCE has, and you all know, Council of Chiropractic Education, has educational guidelines for colleges. World Health Organization has educational guidelines for teaching medical doctors about chiropractic or starting new schools of chiropractic in countries other than the United States. So standards for mission trips becomes pretty exciting. And to my knowledge, there are no published standards of practice for our profession at this time for a mission trip. So the wide range of activities that take place on mission trips are varied, and the articles are numerous as to the good and the bad and the ugly regarding things that have occurred on mission trips. Fortunately, I can say, to the best of my knowledge, none of them have happened as a result of one of Palmer's trips, so I'm extremely happy to do that. What standards do we want to talk about for mission trips? Preparation. Pre-departure preparation. Classes for the people who are going, letting them know what to expect when they get there. Some of you may have been across the border. San Diego is right next to Mexico. There is chiropractic in Mexico. There are still mission trips going to Mexico. And lots of South America and lots of the Caribbean and Asia and Europe. Mission trips are happening all over, and I could give you a list of the people who are doing them, and I will at the end if you're interested. Those individuals who are taking people on mission trips. What do we want to have happen? What are our standards? What do we do in this country? We take the history. We do a proper physical examination. We make an assessment and give a clinical impression. We give a report of findings and get an informed consent. If we're dealing in a third world country where there are translators trying to explain what our findings are, We have a lot of problems getting some of these things explained appropriately. Of course, adequate treatment, paperwork, the documentation in this country, we all know what that requirement is. Should we have a standard for consultation on site with colleagues, medical colleagues, or other healthcare professionals? And what are the follow-up opportunities for people on receiving care on mission trips? What home recommendations are we making for them? And what referral are we making? These are just a few. Where are the records kept? If there are any records kept on mission trips. So the pros, of course, are going to reiterate some of this. Of course, patient safety is one of the big issues. Patient education, the necessary history, the necessary physical exam, orthopedic neurological examination, spinal evaluation. Again, informed consent, referral, accurate records, follow-up for the patient, opportunities for research, planned returns, public education, and potential for developing legal regulations in those countries, the opportunity to encourage individuals from those countries to come to the States or other countries around the world that have colleges. The cons, no standards. If you have standards, it takes more time. Less people are seen. Probably no referrals, no follow-up. Unskilled or less skilled, lower level students may be going on some of these trips. A poor understanding of chiropractic, philosophical differences within our profession, technique approaches, all of these things come into play. Incomplete information on the history and physical, incomplete records and storage of those records. Friction among local healthcare providers and non-professional image of the profession. Our expense for a temporary licensure. Bone setters in some countries may want to start calling themselves chiropractors if we don't have some standards of care. And of course, you can get from my tone that I think we should. Participating with Palmer College, I think it's important. Things that have to be considered, making those contacts, local providers, officials, local government, and limiting the caregivers to those with a specific level of education and a defined level of supervision for students. Yes, next week is the vote, but somewhere in our profession we need to, in my opinion, set up standards of care practices, which ones are essential, which ones are not, who will monitor and evaluate those standards, and these are the questions I think we should be asking for ourselves and for the future of our profession around the world. So I thank you for your attention. Did I do that right on time? Thank you. If you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer them. If not, when the meeting is over, I will be happy to answer them then.
We'll take it. If there are just a couple of minutes before we have to get ready for the business meeting, so if there are any questions for anybody up on the panel, now's the time.
Thank you.
All right, question for Carol. I'm just curious what your policies are for the students. I know many of them may not want to get vaccinations, and some of these countries require the vaccinations. How do you handle that?
None of the countries require them, they are recommended.
Okay.
And that we go to. That we go home to. Yeah. I did not get any vaccinations until I went to Madagascar. I felt comfortable going to all these other countries. But when I went to Madagascar, I felt that it was far enough away from any westernized type of country that I needed it. So I got the whole nine yards. I got yellow fever, Hep A, Hep B, tetanus. I hadn't had tetanus for God knows how long. And then I did take the anti-malarial. What's interesting is the medical doctors that went with us were from the health department in Madagascar. They did not want to come out at night with this because that's when the malarial mosquito came out, and they were paranoid. They did not want to come with us to the clinic that they had at night, and but they came with us. But they were just very paranoid, and as soon as we were done looking at that, they were gone. They were back in their hotel room. So.
Yeah, I'm just curious the safety for the anthrax. Is India, for instance, a high prevalence of polio?
Some of us do recommend that they get their shots, but it's totally up to them.
Is there any legal responsibility that the university has if, let's say, a student chooses not to get vaccinated?
They sign
they
off
go
on it,
and they get sick.
Right.
So there is a legal right.
Has anybody come down?
We have one that had dengue fever, but that dengue fever is just like having a cold. You get it, and then it takes a while for you to get over it, but there's no residual effect after.
Traveler's diarrhea.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Lots of that. I take that back. There's one guy, he is from Indian descent, from like India, and he felt that since he was from, he had descended from that area, he could drink or eat anything. He came back. Yeah. He lost over half of his intestines. They had surgically remove it, and his intestines, and he did not do very well. He was out for a good 6 or 8 months, if I remember right. And,
either for medical care or chiropractic follow-up if it's available in those communities.